The following presentation was recorded at the Buddhist Society of Victoria, Malvern East, Australia. Please visit our website at bsv.net.au.
Good evening, everyone. Nice to see a few people come out tonight to come into the BSV to practice some meditation. Hopefully you all had a nice, quiet day. I noticed there was not much movement around today, so hopefully everybody had a relaxing day. It's good to top that off with a relaxing night and practicing some meditation. So nice to see everybody here, and nice to see anybody that's tuned in online to sit meditation with us tonight. It's a very, very nice thing. As always, pretty standard what we do here. We sit, we meditate. That's about it. There's not too many more instructions that I really need to give you on top of that. But the only thing is, we'll open it up to questions after the meditation session tonight. Anybody has any questions about meditation or anything in particular, they're more than welcome to ask. Same online. If you want to just type the questions in the chat box, you're more than welcome to do that. So with that, just as a quick caveat, there's nobody that's brand new to meditation here. Faces all look there is one. Have you ever meditated before, or?
Yeah.
Okay. How long for ish? Oh, how long have you meditated for? Yeah.
Not very.
Okay, no problem. Have you had any kind of meditation instructions before, or just something you picked up yourself, or?
I've come to the temple before.
Okay, no problem. No problem at all. We'll do a little bit of a guided meditation tonight then. We usually sit for about 45 minutes to an hour kind of thing. But I'll be giving some instructions throughout that. So if you'd like to follow along, or if you have some kind of meditation that you like to do yourself, you're more than welcome to do that. But I'll give some sort of basic instructions for you as well. So any questions that you have after it, you're more than welcome. So nice to see you coming here tonight. So it's very good. Okay, with that, we might get started then. So if you take a comfortable seat, whether you're sitting on the floor or whether you're on a seat, it doesn't really matter. The main thing, though, is just to try to keep the back nice and straight. Helps keep you alert and awake. I guess the other caveat before we start is, it's good to turn your phone off as well. It's even good to get it away from you. Put it down on the ground or beside you. If it's in your pocket, then potentially you're always sort of reaching towards it. But either way, it's fine. As long as it's turned off. It's important to put these kind of external distractions down. This time that we actually have to practice meditation, this is precious. It's very important. We decided to take some time out of our lives to improve the quality of our mind. So we want to have as little distractions when we're doing that. We can also set the mind up as well and just make a small determination that the time that you spend here, you'll try to spend it well, even though the mind might flitter off into the past or the future. And try to make the best of the time and try to keep our mind with the meditation object as much as we possibly can. Just resolve to put anything down, any concerns or worries that you may have. Any plans, any expectations that you might have about the meditation. Just try to put all these aside now and just resolve to try to stay with your object as much as possible. And we start by recognizing the posture of the body. Try to ground ourselves in the present moment by noticing exactly what the body is doing right now and what it's feeling. Notice the feeling of the body sitting here in space. The weight of the body as it pushes down on the chair, the seat. You can notice the sensations in the room, the cool or the heat, any kind of contact between your clothes and your skin. We take note of the sensations that are occurring in the body, really to ground our mind in the present and exactly where we are and what we're doing now. Can notice any sounds and just realize they're something that comes and goes. You can even systematically move your attention throughout your body. You can start on the top of your head and notice the sensations that are there. And move down through your face, notice any tingling or vibration that may be there. Down through your neck. And also try to notice if there's any tension anywhere in this area, in your jaw or your brow. And just try to release that and relax. Pass your tension through your shoulders. And again, if there's tension there, just release that tension and relax. Move your attention down your arms. Notice the tingling and vibration of the different sensations throughout your body. Down into your hands. Maybe any feeling of contact between your hands. Likewise, we can move down our attention down through our chest and notice the sensations there. in our abdomen, and we can notice the rising and falling of the breath, the different sensations throughout your whole torso. You can move your attention down your back. Notice any tightness or stiffness. And similarly, we move our attention down through our legs and sensations, feeling of the weight of our body contacting the chair, or any feelings of maybe stiffness that we might be feeling in the hips or the knees. Move our attention all the way down to the soles of our feet. Maybe the feeling of our feet touching the floor. Our objective here is just to notice whatever sensations are there. Try not to label them as good or bad, as pleasant or unpleasant, but just merely sensations that are arising right now, arising and remaining and changing. And spend the next few minutes just moving your attention up and down the body, noticing what kind of sensations are there in any moment. And as we start to settle in and relax and find our body and our mind more at ease, we can start to move our attention from the sensations in the body into a more refined area. We can start to notice the sensations of the breath as it comes in and goes out. We can notice how the breath feels, either at the tip of our nose as the wind comes in and goes out, and all the different sensations associated with that. Or we can notice it in our chest area as it expands and contracts. We can notice it in our abdomen as it rises and falls with the breath coming in and going out. Just gently guide your attention to either one of those three places, or you can even follow the breath down through those three places. Just try to gently keep your attention on this spot. And obviously the mind will wander off from time to time, become distracted. Try not to worry about this too much. As soon as you notice that the mind's wandered off, just simply notice that this is the case and then come back and put your attention on the breath again and start again. And we simply just continue to do this over and over. Just continue to keep your attention on the sensations of the breath coming in and going out for the next few minutes. might notice the breath becomes more subtle and refined as the mind quietens down and settles on the feeling, the sensations as the breath comes in and goes out. Just try to keep your attention placed at this point and merely follow the rhythm of the breath as it comes and goes. Again, if the mind does wander off from time to time, there's no need to feel despondent or judge yourself in any way. Just simply realize that it's wandered off and simply start again and begin again. Just like if a small puppy wanders off, there's no need for you to scream at the puppy, or nor do you just let it wander aimlessly. But if it wanders off, you just gently pick it up and bring it back to where you want it to sit. Simply continue to do this with your attention as you notice the sensations of the breath coming in and going out. And if you find it hard just to stay with the raw sensations, you can also make a quiet mental note in your mind. As the breath comes in, you can think in. As it goes out, you can think out. Just noting in and out. Or you can even count the breath in pairs and try to stay with the sensations of the breath, and again make a quiet mental note of counting. When the breath comes in, you can think one. As it goes out, you can think one. As it comes in, two, out, two. And we can stay with counting the breath until we reach 10. And then we simply start again back at 1. You can try these different ways to hold your attention to the breath. as we practice meditation, we likely notice many different kinds of mind states that arise through the course of the meditation. Some might be pleasant and positive. You might feel calm or relaxation or stillness. You may also experience some negative states that arise in the mind. Maybe boredom or agitation with some pain in the body. One of our objectives in meditation is to simply notice all different phenomena that arises for us as something that merely arises and passes away, merely floats through our awareness. Just like the sensations that arise and pass away, and the sounds that arise and pass away, so too with our thoughts and feelings. They are also transient. You can imagine your mind and what you experience like an open sky. And these thoughts and feelings that we have simply like objects that pass through the sky, the clouds and birds. They simply pass through this expansive open space. They float through and they come and they go and they continually change. As you keep your attention on the breath, also just notice this changing nature of your mind, of the thoughts and feelings and emotions that may come up. in the final few minutes of the meditation, we can change our tact now and try to develop some awesome thoughts of goodwill and kindness towards others. These practices can brighten and lighten up the mind. We call this a practice of loving kindness. And we start by bringing to mind somebody that we care for. Could be a parent, it could be a spouse, or it could be a child. Somebody that we care quite a lot for. And as we bring this person to mind, we can recognize that we truly want this person to be happy. We want them to be safe. We want them to experience happiness and joy in their lives. We truly want this person to be free from suffering. So as we think of this person, try to really cultivate and sink in to these emotions of care and kindness towards them. Like you're actually directing these feelings of goodwill actually towards them. Now we can bring to mind someone else who we're close to, but maybe not as close as a child or a parent. Could be a friend, could be an extended family member, but someone that we have a good and close and wholesome relationship with. And as we think of this person, again, we really do want them to be happy. We want them to be free from any kind of suffering. We want them to be well. We want them to have joy and peace and calm and comfort in their lives. We likely really, truly do wish this for this person. So again, really try to stir up these emotions of kindness and goodwill towards this person and sink into them and experience them. And also try to direct those feelings of goodwill towards this close friend or family member. And now bring to mind a close group around you. It might be your extended family, or it might be a circle of friends that you have. Try to bring a few of these people to mind. And if we look in our heart, we realize that we don't really wish anything bad on these people. We don't want them to suffer. We do want them to have a happy life, an enjoyable life, a carefree life. We want them to be happy. We want them to be well. We do care for their well-being. And again, just try to invoke these feelings and sink into them of loving kindness towards this circle of people around you. And now try to broaden this circle out. And try to think of all the people throughout your life that have helped you in some way, assisted you in some way, taught you in some way. There may be people that you remember, or people that you knew of that helped. There may even be people that you didn't know helped you, but in some way assisted you. These people took something out of their life to help you in some way. In some way, either large or small. And so we can try to bring up some feelings of gratitude to these people that have helped us. And we can wish for their happiness and safety. We can wish that they can be free of suffering because they've helped us in some way. Again, try to spread this feeling of gratitude and care and kindness towards all those people that have helped us. And finally, bring to mind yourself. You're also a being in the world, just like any other. And when you take stock of your own existence, you realize you don't really want yourself to suffer. You do want yourself to experience happiness and peace and joy. We really do want these things for ourselves. So just like you feel these emotions towards these other people, feeling of kindness, this feeling of gratitude, this feeling of care and concern, try to turn this feeling towards yourself. You can even think, may I be well. May I be happy. May I be at ease. May I be free from any ill will and agitation. May I be free from all suffering. Good. Close my eyes. There weren't that many people here. Open my eyes again. There's more people. Don't know how that happened. It's good. So, does anybody have any burning questions? Or simmering or cool questions or one or the other? You're welcome to come up and ask in the microphone, or you're also welcome just to call them out if you like, and I can sort of repeat them for the people at home. You better ask a question, or unfortunately, I'm going to have to be forced to ramble.
Ajahn, there is one silence. Question online.
I really love the online audience. I've always got a question. It's good.
One of the people in the room are gathering their thoughts again.
Yeah.
I think this may have been the same person who asked a question about the body yesterday. So they've
right,
come back
yeah,
with a
yeah,
clarification.
Yeah. Very good.
Possibly a clarification.
Yep.
How to train the body to sustain the meditation practice, Ajahn. Thank you.
Okay. So hopefully there's a little bit more clarity there. And I'm assuming that would mean how to deal with maybe some of the pains associated with meditation, how to maybe make the body a little bit more flexible so you can sit for longer, or you know, maybe sit in a kind of cross-legged posture or something like that. So like training the mind, which takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of persistence,
And it takes a lot of patience, and you just sort of have to continue to do it. It's the same with the body. You do have to sort of sit with it, and sometimes, obviously, in the course of sitting for any kind of elongated period of time, you're going to get pains in the leg, pains in the hip, pains in the back, pains in the shoulder, pains in the neck, all these different kinds of pains. And so we have to try to maybe differentiate between the kinds of pains that maybe naturally arise out of meditation, just from sitting and being sort of stiff, sitting in one position. We have to differentiate those kinds of pains from actual physical ailments that we might have. Say, for example, if we have slipped discs or something in our back, or we have a pinched nerve somewhere. Those kinds of pains that are there all the time, and those kinds of ailments, they're not really something that you want to push too hard against. If you have a slipped disc and you're sitting there and you notice it's getting worse, move, obviously. But with those kinds of natural pains that arise in your meditation, it's good to not go overboard and try to just like fight through them, and you know, really just sit there and grit your teeth and try to you muscle your way through it or whatever. But it is also good to actually try to test yourself a little bit. If you do start to feel a bit uncomfortable in the body, there's some pains there, you just try to sit with it for a little while and notice what this pain is. Is it something that's going to be there forever, or is it going to change? So the sort of analogy I sort of give is like, if you feel like sort of like this is your pain threshold when you're sitting, you want to get up to this point where you like get up to it and just go maybe like a little bit past it. And then, you know, obviously it might get too much. You have to pull back, and that's fine. And it's going to continue to do that. But if you go a little bit past your pain threshold, or this kind of discomfort in meditation, what happens is you're training yourself, and your pain threshold gets higher and higher. So this line starts to move up more. But if we have some kind of uncomfort in our meditation, and as soon as the pain comes, we sort of back off and move, you know, basically your pain threshold just gets less and less and less. So something we have to work with and balance. We don't want to go too far and sit there in absolute agony for ages, but nor do we want to squirm around with every little kind of feeling that you have in the body. And just to sort of extend on that, maybe, you know, with actually sort of like sitting in a cross-legged position, sometimes it may be not so appropriate to some people, may have problems, so that you can just sit on a chair, it's fine. But if you do want to like sit cross-legged, you know, this takes time, it takes years. It's like I went to Thailand as your average Westerner that had never sat on the floor. I'd always sat on chairs, and you sort of sit there, and like it's the first time you sit there, like your legs are up like this, and you're sitting on about like five pillows, and you're right up, and it takes a bit of time. You stretch a bit, and eventually you can sort of sit there for a little while, and you're not sort of rocking here and there. Your hips and things like that eventually stretch, and then until you get to the point where you can sort of sit for a little period of time. But it does take a little bit of time. You do have to work with it a little bit, but you don't want to go too far and you put yourself in any kind of great agony. So yeah, hopefully that answers the question. Yeah.
Thank you, Rajan. Are there any questions in the room at this point? There is another question.
Yeah.
It's actually just asking about the Friday Discover Buddhism sessions. Mm. So the question is specifically, will it be online? And unfortunately, not straight away, though that may come. But you want to just talk, there are more questions coming in, but could you, for people who didn't hear yesterday's talk or aren't sure, could you please talk a little bit about those sessions, Ajahn?
For sure. So we can give it a bit of a plug. We're starting up a Friday night session whereby it's from 7 to 8 every Friday. And what it's going to cover is they're going to be very, very informal sessions. They're, you could say, like learning the basics of meditation. They're really aimed at people that are just getting a foothold in meditation and any kinds of Buddhist thought. So I'll be facilitating that. So we'll be having two different kinds of session. The first one is, you know, just introduction to meditation, introduction to very simple kind of Buddhist concepts. And that'll be on one Friday. And then the Friday after that, so it'll be, every fortnight you have that learn meditation, learn some basics of Buddhism. And then on the other fortnight, what we'll be having is just again very, very informal. Any kind of questions that anybody has, you can come and ask questions. You can ask questions about Buddhism, you can ask questions about meditation, you can ask questions about what the life of a monk's life. It's going to be very informal, you know, sit around, have a cup of tea kind of thing. Any questions people have. So they'll be going every Friday night, and they'll be sort of swapping back and forth between the meditation and intro to Buddhism and just the informal questioning. And so the reason at the moment they won't be offered online straight away is because I'm facilitating it and I don't know how it's going to work. So I don't want to be doing things online where I'm just sort of putting myself out there and I'm just making terrible mistakes and saying stupid things. So at the start, we'll just sort of facilitate it in person. For anybody that's in person that wants to come along, it's quite good. Eventually, we will probably offer online options for people that maybe that can't get here, but it's these kinds of things are quite nice in person. Again, just having a very, very informal chat. But obviously, yeah, there are people that don't live in the sort of the Melbourne metropolitan area that they can't get here. So eventually we'll sort of move to maybe some kind of online forum, but at the moment we'll sort of keep it mainly in person. So
yeah,
all welcome to come along and ask me some strange questions. So. No other questions before Friday that you want to ask me now in the room?
Well, talking of strange questions,
yeah.
This is one I'm sure you haven't had before, Ajahn.
Yep.
Frequently when I meditate with BSWA or BSV, my heart fills with love and joy.
Mm.
A smile brightens my face and I feel greater peace as I listen to the gentle snoring of my three great Pyrenees. It's a dog breed.
Okay, yeah.
Is this dog breath meditation, metta meditation, or focusing on the fur element?
That is fantastic. I've never had that question. I've heard most questions, and I've never had that question. That's phenomenal. That's really great. It could be. Could be. Like, it's there's, you know, if you're having a lot of, as you said, this feeling of love and kindness as you're going through the meditations with us, this is a great state to be in. And especially if it's focused out towards other beings. And like we did in the metta meditation at the end of the session, you know, you start by focusing this out to people that you care for. And obviously this can extend to Pekingese as well that are having an app. It's great.
Great Pyrenees.
Pyrenees.
They're enormous white dogs.
Oh, okay. Is there a Pekingese though?
There are, but they're very small and these are
okay,
very big.
Right. Okay, cool. I'm learning about dog breeds. This is fantastic. So yeah, it's you. One, you can be doing this aspect of spreading metta and spreading loving kindness to, you know, not just humans, but obviously to animals as well. So this is a way you can be doing this meditation. Also, actually, you can do these meditations where you are listening to the sounds in the room, and the sounds are the things that you're taking as the focus of your attention. And so if the sounds of your Pyrenees are snoring and you're listening to that and it is the sound of their breath, you know, this is, again, just sort of listening to sound come and go And it has the added bonus that it is the breath of another being. So it could be along the lines of following the breath. It's obviously, it's not following your breath. And there's like, so in effect, she's got three of these dogs. Yeah, there's like four sets of breath. There's the three breaths from the dogs going, and then there's your breath. But, you know, that's good. There's totally nothing wrong with that. So, yeah, I think it, like, I say this like all the time. Like, look, if something works for you, do that thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be one of the kind of, you know, the 42 meditation objects from the Theravada tradition, or the extra 16 that are in the Abhidhamma, or doesn't have to be one of the 309 different kinds of meditation techniques. Like, whatever works for you, like, just do that. And especially, you know, if it's something where it is developing a lot of wholesome qualities in the mind, and it's towards your dogs. Dogs are great. Dogs are awesome. I'm glad you don't have cats, like, because, you know, they're evil. Good to do it to dogs. You probably can't do it with cats because they're evil. You have cats, don't you? I've shown my biases.
They're the Zen masters in our house. Actually, the cats.
The Zen masters or the sociopaths, one or the other, I can't really tell. Cats are okay, they're fine.
Are there any questions in the room before we have... Well, there's one more question online. Everyone's happy. Yeah. We might finish with this one in Ajahn, as we're almost 9 o'clock. It comes from the same person who asked about the body before and maybe related. Actually, there's just a comment from Rick who asked the question about the dogs. I'll just read that out. Yep. Many thanks, Ajahn. My three Great Pyrenees are my metta buddies. Their gentle snoring brings smiles and compassion, and they bring me greater peace.
Yeah, good.
So, yes.
Good.
And then the last question here, there's actually sort of, it's a double, two questions really, but relating to meditation and sickness.
Yep.
When the body is sick. So sick people can't meditate and... So can't attain Nibbana, Bhante, ? And also following on with, how do sick monks meditate?
So I think if a person is quite sick, this is actually like the optimal time for them to actually practice meditation. It's obviously, it's a lot harder. You're dealing with so many other, physical ailments in the body that are taking your attention away. But it's also really when we're in sickness, you know, this is actually, you know, showing us in its most tangible form the truth of suffering that the Buddha talked about. You can't get away from it. If you are sick, this is showing you the first noble truth in all of its sort of horrid forms. So if you are sick and you are ill in some kind of way, you can still try to practice. You can sort of, you know, see the sickness, you know, as it moves and changes throughout the body. You can practice things like trying to keep your mind with the breath or some kind of object like that. You can see the, you know, impermanence of the body that's going, the kind of processes that it's going through. You can still practice, and I'd actually stress, it's like you really, really need to practice at that time as well, because, you know, we have what's the terminology for it? It's like the two darts. You know, you have the dart of the physical sort of ailment that is, you know, hurts you in some way, but then usually we put the second dart on that of the actual psychological suffering that goes along with these, you know, with the first dart of the physical ailments. So we really should, you know, try to use this time to the best of our ability to actually practice as much as we can, and really, if we're lying down, you know, we can lie down and watch the breath come and go, or repeat some kind of mantra in the mind, or try to bring to mind things that we've been grateful for in our life. So we can practice. And, you know, the final caveat of the question was, can they reach Nibbana? Well, if they've practiced well and they have a strong mind, you know, they can achieve nibbana just like a healthy person can achieve nibbana. It's, you know, it's there for us to realize to some extent. So whether you're sick or whether you're young, old, male, woman, whatever, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really actually matter the sort of the physical form that you're in. Then, you know, you still have the opportunity to realize nibbana. So you can still realize nibbana. And so to the second question, how do monastics practice when they're sick? In essence, just in this, like what I said then, you know, you're trying to keep your mind with some kind of object. You kind of see that you're also recollecting and contemplating that this is just the nature of the body. You know, the body has the inherent nature to become sick and to become ill. The body has the inherent nature to get older and eventually pass away. So you're recollecting that process and that truth. You're seeing the physical sensations that arise in your body as just something that arises and eventually passes away. And you're also trying to recollect and realize and understand and have introspection into these things that we think are painful feelings that arise in the body. They're just, you know, again, they're just feelings, they're just sensations that arise. And we're seeing their impermanent nature and, in essence, trying to understand the impermanent nature of everything. And so even if that's at the point where we're on our death, what we're trying to do is just see that everything in our life just comes and goes and comes and goes, and you're getting to the point now where your life has come and it's arisen and it's been for a while. And now it's at the point where it's actually dropping away and you'll be passing away. So we try to be introspective in that and try to recollect that as much as we possibly can. And just to see this process as it's happening. And so even though if you're a monk, you know, it's not perfect, you know, I get sick and I complain and I whine as much as the next person. And I, you know, as soon as I get a scratchy throat, I say, can somebody go to the pharmacy and get me something? And so it's, you know, we all sort of have to deal with sicknesses and monastics, you know, we still get sick. We still try to practice through it, but we still have to take medication and things like that and look after ourselves. But in essence, what you're trying to do is you're trying to release your mind from clinging to this sort of body. And it's not an easy task, but, you know, you try to do it as much as you possibly can. So,
yep. Thank you very much, Ajahn. There are all the questions we seem to have tonight. Thank you so much for tonight's session.
No problem. Well, good. Very good. Hope you had a good meditation and all the best for you. Hope you keep practicing and hope you realize nibbana soon, even if you are sick. Hope you have compassion for your dogs and even maybe cats. Yes.